Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Outrage over cuties was just one outlet for a general swell of panic over child safety and specifically child sex trafficking. In July, the furniture company Wayfair was accused of selling missing children.
A lot of these storage cabinets on the Wayfair website have girls' names. A well-known QAnon activist noticed this and tweeted, "My spidey senses are tingling. What's with these storage cabinets? Extremely high prices, all listed with girls' names and identical units selling for different amounts." The suggestion being that actually this was about trafficking young girls.
In August, Save the Children rallies were held across the country, driven by such QAnon conspiracy theorists who allege that the Democratic Party is behind a slew of sex trafficking rings. But let's not put the onus solely on the paranoid fantasies of QAnon Kool-Aid drinkers. Last month, a shocking story was all over the mainstream media.
In Georgia, U.S. Marshals busted a child sex trafficking ring, saving 39 children. It was called Operation Not Forgotten.
NBC, cable news, the Associated Press, the New York Times. By the time the story caught the attention of Huffington Post reporter Michael Hobbs, it recounted 39 kids rescued from a trailer and 9 adults arrested for sex trafficking. Such a frightful narrative got one Twitter user to exclaim, quote, "How is finding 39 missing children in a double-wide trailer here in Georgia not the biggest news story in America?" A tweet that was shared 159,000 times. The answer, as Michael Hobbs figured out in no time flat, was because the story wasn't true.
The U.S. Marshals Service doesn't actually investigate trafficking cases. They just look for missing children. And so this wasn't even an operation that took place on the same day. The email that I got from the U.S. Marshals Service, they said this was not a raid or a sting. And they highlighted and underlined and all caps the word "not." 39 kids were found, but only 2 of them were found in the same location. The other operations were completely separate. They took place across 15 different counties in Georgia, 6 additional states, and over 2 weeks. So this was basically a knocking on doors and making phone calls type of situation. This was not a, like, drop from the ceiling and rescue a bunch of kids who were chained to radiators.
Yeah, they weren't sex slaves. Who were they?
Well, what we often find in cases like this is most of the kids who go missing in America, unfortunately, are teen runaways. And the U.S. Marshals Service confirmed this to me. So oftentimes, these cases are looking for kids who have run away from abusive homes, or they have been pushed out of their homes by their parents because they're queer or trans or in some other way not acceptable to their parents, and they get pushed out onto the streets, and then somebody calls the cops and the cops go looking for them. So it is a tragic story, but it's a tragic story in this sort of everyday American way that we don't bring into the headlines as much as we do, you know, giant international sex trafficking rings.
And sex trafficking, by the way, being defined not as the wholesale gathering of victims in a large shadowy marketplace, but it technically, legally means what?
For children, for underage kids, child sex trafficking means anyone who trades sex for anything. So in the actual statistics, the actual decent studies that have been done on this, we believe that a huge percentage of the kids who are engaging in commercial sex are not necessarily forced by a pimp to do it. They are not recruited. They are not taken across state lines. They are doing it because they are runaways and they are homeless and they need a place to stay, or they are addicted to drugs and they sleep with their dealer. It's called survival sex. It's exactly what it sounds like. And because any commercial sex act by a child under 18 counts as trafficking, the trafficker in that case is the person who buys sex from them, which is indefensible. I'm not going to say that, like, that doesn't matter, but the charge of trafficking when it comes to somebody under 18 does not require a pimp. It does not require a recruiter. It does not require them to be transported across state lines. It's not this sort of shadowy, dark underground network thing that most Americans think that it is.
Again, you're not suggesting that we should not be concerned about them. It's just that these are pathologies within pathologies.
My central argument is that we should be concerned about them because they are runaways, because they are in foster care, because they are abused, because when you look at the actual services that are available to that population, they are bad. For a story, 2 years ago, I volunteered at a youth homeless shelter for 3 months, and it's 42 mattresses on the ground of a church basement, right? It's not a great system, right? So if we're actually concerned about this problem, the real version of the problem, not the sort of shadowy version of the problem, we need places for kids to sleep. We need safe places for kids to go. Getting rid of the desperation would cut down on this problem far more than any number of trafficking raids, trailers or not.
So, you know, not to belabor the point, but this headline from the Associated Press, missing children rescued in Georgia sex trafficking bust, what should it actually have said?
So really, all of these headlines should say something about we found a bunch of endangered runaway kids or we rounded up a bunch of sex workers. Most of these sex trafficking busts, it's a way for local prosecutors and also local news organizations, frankly, to make it look like they're busting up something much larger and more exotic and more difficult to track down than they are. A lot of these quote-unquote sex trafficking busts, they don't actually find any real sex trafficking or what most people would understand as sex trafficking. Oftentimes, these are just dressed up vice raids where they round up a bunch of sex workers and a couple of Johns. And then it turns out one of the sex workers is, you know, 17. And hey, she's underage. That means any commercial sex of an underage person counts as trafficking. So presto, you've got yourself a trafficking raid. And so a lot of this comes from the fact that the population is not as happy with cops going after sex workers anymore. That's something that's become slightly unpalatable. And so prosecutors have changed their marketing, and so now they're calling all of the vice raids trafficking busts.
So you're a reporter at your desk, and you get a press release from a police agency. What does the cautious reporter do to judge what is actually taking place?
I've been feeling somewhat guilty all week because after my story debunking the Georgia raid came out, people were talking about like, oh, Michael Hobbs did such diligent reporting, you know, all this on the ground footwork kind of thing that he did. It took me 2 emails. I saw the press release. I emailed 2 agencies and I said, look, can you just provide me with basic numbers on this bust? And they provided me with them. And the first thing that you see in the numbers is that it's mostly foster care kids. And that of the 9 people who were arrested, only 1 was arrested for sex trafficking. So I wasn't doing anything particularly fancy. I was just asking for basic clarification of the terms. And that's really what we don't have reporters doing, is what do you mean by trafficking? What were the circumstances under which you found these kids? Was it a raid or not? How did you find these kids? That's what people need to be doing, is just asking basic questions.
So in Action News runs it as the lead, and you're watching the show. What should you, as a news consumer, think about?
I mean, almost always in the actual details of these stories, you can find clues that this is not the international sex trafficking ring that you have been promised in the headline. Oftentimes you have these stories. I just saw one the other day that was like cops bust up a sex trafficking ring in, I think it was Ohio. And then, you know, 17th paragraph of the story, they say they arrested 5 dudes. None of them knew each other. All of them were arrested on existing warrants. And one of the guys was picked up for possession of marijuana. This is your trafficking ring?
Okay, so let's talk about you. This is your beat. You were totally immersed in issues of missing and exploited children. Have you ever encountered the classic case about which the political right is now in a panic?
You know, we have these posters in every single airport, right? Of these are the signs of trafficking. This is the hotline number to call. I spoke to a number of human trafficking organizations, and they could not give me a single case of a child being trafficked by a stranger through an airport. Has this happened in the history of the United States? Probably, but it's not something that is happening on the scale that we all need to keep our eyes open for it. It's just totally baffling to me that we have this widespread panic about this, and yet they cannot tell me one time that this has actually happened.
And kids do get abducted, but overwhelmingly not by strangers with nefarious intentions. Who does take children when children are taken?
Well, the vast majority of children who go missing, it turns out that it's one of their parents who has kidnapped them or taken them for a short period of time as part of a custody dispute. So it's something like dad takes the kids on Friday and Sunday night rolls around and he hasn't returned them. And mom doesn't know what to do, so she calls the cops. She reports the kids missing. The cops go looking for the kids. Either dad has absconded with them completely, or dad is doing it as sort of a front in a war, like to get back at her for something. This is unfortunately something that happens a lot in America, and it's the vast, vast, vast majority of kidnappings of children. The most recent number that we have is that sort of stereotypical, you know, Taken-style child abductions. There's about 115 of those a year. Not 115,000, 115. It is extremely rare for children to be abducted by strangers. It's almost always somebody that is already in their life.
You pin some of the blame on police agencies who, you know, look heroic for, I would say, exaggerated headlines about who they've saved from what. You blame the media for being careless. And you blame the do-gooder NGOs who you believe have exaggerated the threat in order to secure their own, let's say, funding.
Yes. I mean, I have spoken to people at the human trafficking organizations. What they have told me is that they need to use this sort of stranger danger version of human trafficking to get attention to the more real versions of trafficking that are happening in the world, the more sort of prevalent sexual exploitation that children suffer. And I think that that is totally immoral. I think that it's totally cynical. And I think that there's all kinds of unintended consequences of that approach that they're not taking into account. You can't just throw poison into the public consciousness willy-nilly, because what you end up with is QAnon. I mean, this QAnon stuff, it's fascinating to me that, you know, it's only a sort of 20% exaggeration on the kinds of myths that we've been getting about trafficking for 20 years now, right? There's not actually that much of a difference between the QAnon version and the version that you can find on very mainstream anti-trafficking organization websites. So I think, you know, once you've poisoned the well for that long, then you have people that are going to come along and poison it a little bit further. And this is the escalation that we've had in anti-trafficking since the Trafficking Victims Protection Act passed in 2000. It's been 20 years of this panic.
Which gets to my final point. One of the reasons that these myths take hold is that they tie into our fears. Another is that they're just kind of a meme. They are archetypes.
We love to separate things into perfect victims and perfect villains. And trafficking is perfect for that, right? Because we've got these terrible human beings who are literally buying and selling kids. There's these networks that cross state lines and country borders, et cetera. And then when you look at the actual problems that kids are facing, the kids that are actually getting into commercial sex, the way that we solve that isn't by locking up a million people. The way that we solve that isn't by, you know, cracking down and harshening sentences and getting cops to do raids. It's really, really boring stuff like ending homelessness. Once you end homelessness, that reduces the need for kids that are underage to engage in commercial sex to survive. It requires fixing the foster care system. It requires taking abuse claims seriously when it's the soccer coach. It's these things that we've known that we need to do for literally decades. We know that there's problems with homelessness. We know that there's problems with foster care. But it's kind of boring to fix those, and it costs money, and it doesn't give you that sort of sense of retribution, right? That thing of like, you know, cocking your shotgun and walking out on your porch and being like, I'm going to hunt down some pedophiles. It's like, we're just going to prevent kids from being vulnerable to this sort of thing in the first place. So it's really the difference between this sort of retributive understanding of justice versus this equitable version of justice, which is like, well, kids shouldn't have to run away and sleep on the streets if their parents are terrible.
Michael, thank you.
Yeah, that deep sigh is like exactly what my entire career has been for the last year.
Well, I feel your pain. Michael Hobbs is a senior enterprise reporter at the Huffington Post and co-host of the podcast You're Wrong About. Mike, thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, pouring misinformation gasoline on a real fire. This is On the Media.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.